The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Gospel reading for Ash Wednesday addresses how we should live as followers of Christ. It's truly a mark of our depravity that Jesus finds it necessary to warn us against practicing righteousness in such a way that we provoke God to be angry. As he tells it, "And the one who will judge the living and the dead is one on whose judgment we can rely." We can and do sin in doing righteous deeds, in giving to the needy, in praying, and in fasting. Of course, if you never fast as a spiritual discipline, you're probably safe from sinning by how you fast. So I won't be focusing on fasting this evening. Now, of all of the things that you do each day, the things Jesus lists are ones that you would least expect to be criticized for doing. Our normal inclination is to believe that with respect to such actions, our sinfulness lies in failing to do the right thing, in not helping the poor, in being lackadaisical in praying. The activities about which Jesus warns here are precisely the good we want to do, but so often do not do. And now, you hear that your most righteous deeds are like a polluted garment before the Lord? Your miserable wretchedness as a sinner is far beyond what you imagine. In our midweek Lenten services this year, we'll be focusing on the Lord's Prayer. But before we turn our attention to that prayer, it's proper to note that the sinfulness against which Jesus is warning in this reading comes not in the deeds themselves, but in the reason that you and I do them. When what drives your actions is being seen by others and gaining their favor by what you are doing, God does not approve. When you do righteous deeds, it should be solely because you wish to do God's will in response to His mercy and grace to you. When you give to the needy, it should be because God has given so richly to you in your need. When you pray, it should be in response to God's command and your need, and His promises. If what moves you to do these sorts of things is being seen by others, your giving and praying is sinful and earns God's wrath. And so Jesus calls you to repent, to change the way you think and act, to stop using piety as a tool to gain the approval of the world, and instead to let it be a sincere response to your loving Lord. A big show might be applauded, but God cares what's in your heart. That's a pretty terrifying thought, isn't it? As it stands in the center of the gospel that was read, the prayer Jesus teaches serves as a positive example of a God-pleasing prayer. It doesn't heap up empty phrases with many words. It wasn't designed to impress others or to draw attention to the one praying. It simply presents the needs of a sinner to God. But of course, it is much more than merely a model prayer. It consists of the very words of God, which He provides for us to use in bringing requests and intercessions to Him. It is a prayer, thus, that we can pray with complete confidence, because it is the prayer of the beloved Son of God, the Son with whom the Father is well pleased, and is a prayer that He gives to sinners such as you and me, the very people who are tempted to misuse their piety to gain the approval of others. When we pray our Father, we are following Jesus' explicit command and invitation to address the Almighty and everlasting God, the one who created the whole universe and rules over it, who is altogether holy and righteous. We are invited to address Him as Father. This is truly amazing condescension. Though a rebel against God's rule, who by what you have done and by what you have left undone, you have earned divine punishment both here and in eternity. Though a rebel against God's rule, you are nevertheless given the privilege of addressing the Lord just as a beloved child addresses his or her loving Father. Jesus gives you the right to speak to God as your daddy. That would seem inexcusably presumptuous, even irreverent. After all, at Sinai the Lord commanded, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." But the wonderful truth is that in giving us this prayer, our Lord Jesus has made Daddy a proper and pleasing way for baptized children of God to address the Lord and ruler of the universe. Jesus' command and instruction make this a proper and God-pleasing use of the name of the Lord our God. Martin Luther neatly summarized this wonderful truth and privilege in this introduction to the Lord's Prayer. O Heavenly Father, you dear God, I am an unworthy poor sinner, not worthy that I may raise my eyes or hands to you or pray. However, because you have commanded us all to pray, and in addition have promised to hear us, and have taught us about this in both word and deed through your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, I come in such a way to your command as such, to be obedient to you, and abandon myself to your merciful promise. And in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I pray with all your holy Christians on earth, just as he has taught me. The connection of this prayer to the commandment not to misuse the name of the Lord our God is strengthened in the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. As Luther explains, God's name is holy in itself. That's the way it is. That's the way it always will be. But that does us zero good, indeed brings his righteous wrath and judgment to us, if we do not treat God's name as holy in our hearts and in our speaking and in our living. And we don't. Because although God has put his holy precious name on each of us in baptism, we profane and defile it when we sin, and especially if we live in sin, we desecrate that holy name that we bear. So what are we to do? Try harder? Do better? Turn our will so that it matches with God's will? No, not according to the Lord's Prayer. The scriptures teach that we are unable to turn ourselves to God. And as hard as you might try, you know that you cannot eliminate sin completely from your life. What you need, what all of us need, only God can do. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Or as Luther paraphrases it, Heavenly Father, help us in every way so that your name may be holy. We have no holiness in ourselves. If God is to be holy to us, he must hallow his name in us. If we are to be changed and live as his own children, he must come to us and change us. How is this done? God answers our prayer and provides what we need through his word, rightly taught, and in his precious gifts to us, holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion. By the proclamation of his word, God works in you to show you your sin, to bring you to repentance, and to restore you through Christ and forgiveness of sin that he earned for you. God changes you when he responds to your confession with the precious words of absolution, I forgive you all your sins. Jesus hallows and blesses you with his presence when you eat his body given for you, and drink his holy precious blood which he shed for your sin on the cross and gives to you in his supper for your full and free forgiveness. Hallowed be thy name, we pray. Grant us to keep your name holy in our lives. And our gracious and loving Heavenly Father does, day by day, through his holy word and sacraments, ever renewing and restoring the holiness of his name in and among us. But this will not always be necessary. A day is coming when what we pray for and receive now will be perfect reality forever. For on the last day, the holiness of God's name among the redeemed will be complete and perfect and endure throughout all eternity to his glory and to your eternal joy. Thank God. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.